Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, Mark Carpenter with us, anthropologist, explorer, author. A couple of his books are on his website, markacarpenter.com. He has worked on Mayan archaeological excavations on the Yucatan Peninsula. He has analyzed prehistoric Mexico. He spent years living alongside various Native American tribes and Polynesians in North America and Hawaii, studying their ancient traditions. And his expertise is of human origin paradigms, and he is considered a rogue cultural scholar, accusing the scientific establishment of conspiracy to distort human history. Mark, we're going to talk about that, but welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Looking forward to this. How did you get involved in anthropology and archaeology?
Well, it went back to my childhood. Like a lot of 80s kids, I thought Indiana Jones was a very cool character. And my father and his family had some rural land out in Ohio, in the Ohio River Valley. And there were burial mounds out there, not on our land per se, but, you know, when we used to drive through, I was fascinated by these burial mounds. And my father didn't really have a satisfactory explanation, so that's kind of where it all began.
Fascinated ever since, haven't you?
Yeah, I was hooked. I had to know.
Let's talk about the Smithsonian. Tell us about that. Is it kind of like a depository of all the old relics, or what is that place?
Yeah, that's a good question. It masquerades as this beacon of education. That's what we've always been taught that it is, and that's easy to believe because that's what we want it.
We want it to be that.
And it should be. You know, a society like ours should have that, but that's not the reality. The reality is institutions like the Smithsonian, particularly the Smithsonian, were founded, you know, by elites, the secret society, frat boy types. And they were building a nation. They were building a nation, and what it really became, or what it really is a beacon of their version of human history
that they want us to learn
and
think about. Yeah.
They collect the artifacts and the remains and the and the art and the culture and the relics and everything. And they may draw their own conclusions behind closed doors, but as far as they're concerned, it's a mechanism by which the few control the many. They like this divide of information and knowledge. They think of it as their aristocracy. Their aristocratic privilege is what I was trying to say.
What was it, Mark, that got you to start thinking this way? You're not alone in this, by the way, but what was it that got you to think this way?
My paradigm was lost in Mexico.
What happened?
The Yucatan. I was head first in to be a PhD, and I was prepared to spend my life toiling in the jungles of Mexico to understand the Maya and their disappearance. Or their alleged disappearance.
Right.
And, it was like the dissolution tale of a film. I found myself, my naivete was just shattered. I found that this was a rigid orthodoxy, and you were going to get in line or you were going to drown. And I was obsessed, I still am, with Pakal and the Red Queen at the ancient Mayan site known as Palenque. And what I found there was a cover-up. Those remains are missing. The DNA from Pakal and the Red Queen, and for anyone who's not familiar, Pakal and the Red Queen, think of them as like the King Tut of Mayan archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
These are rock stars of the Mayan archaeological world. Most important find in the history of Mayan archaeology. Two pristine rulers' tombs discovered in burial chambers within pyramids.
Well, why distort the information about them?
That is such a priceless question. Why? To understand that question, we really have to go back to what we were talking about before, the founding of institutions like the Smithsonian. And we need to understand how these institutions operate, who controls them,
mm-hmm.
the money, of course. And in this case, we've got the INAH, which is the National Institute of Anthropology and History. They're essentially the Mexican Smithsonian. They were funding this dig on a dollar-for-dollar matched basis with the Rockefeller Foundation.
That's pretty extensive.
Yeah. And the Rockefeller Foundation and the Smithsonian and National Geographic and UNESCO, these are all tentacles of the same creature. And so back to the question, why distort this? Well, because it impacts the human history narrative.
Which they want us to believe their narrative.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You see, you can trace this back, a good crystallization of this. You can trace back to John D. Rockefeller. He essentially founded the Board of Education. I believe this was 1910. It could have been 1901. I get the one and the zero mixed up. But when he did so, I forget what it was, $1 billion or $300 million in 1901, 10. Anyway, he said, he's known for this quote, I don't want thinkers, I want workers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to boil it down, that's, I think, the human history narrative is designed to enslave the public.
What would they want us to believe, Mark?
Oh, well, they like their social Darwinist narrative that I think most people kind of in their hearts do believe. that we are the product of
evolution.
We are the product of it. Now, that's a tricky business there, because we're not going to discount all of evolution, but what we're really talking about there is the origin of species, which is a huge misunderstanding. The point being that if humans believe, the public believes, that they are essentially animals and the product of this evolution, and the focus of their life really is what? Materialism, then. Consumerism. Well, they like that just fine. And they would rather not tamper with that. And these discoveries most certainly would do that in the hearts and minds of people, hence why I am here on this program.
Do they not want us to believe in God, Mark?
They don't. They don't want us to believe in God. They pretend like religious freedom is important to them or to the nation, but that's not the reality. That they would prefer, because you see, a public that is devoted to a deity, and mind you, this has nothing to do with what the reality is. It doesn't matter. You can, you know, we're not drawing any divisions here, but a public that is devout in their religious beliefs, well, those, their deity and their beliefs then are the supreme authority in their hearts and minds. However, if they are reduced to animals, you know, worker bees in a colony, well, then the state authority is essentially their god.
Why would they care, Mark, what we believe?
Because they care about their delusional empires. Power is the simple answer there. They their rule over the masses and their empire, which, by the way, again, is kind of a delusion. It doesn't really belong to them. They think it does because they control the money. They would just prefer our box, meaning our mental box, to be smaller, not larger.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started this program talking about the Kennewick Man. Can you explain a little bit more about him and why you believe there could be a little controversy here?
Yes. So, Kennewick Man, the reason I wanted to begin with this is because Kennewick, there's been for years, many years now, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this, there's been rumors and claims of a Smithsonian conspiracy, as we said, to distort human history. And most of these claims revolve around the early 20th century, late 19th, early 20th century discoveries of abnormally large skeletons.
Giants.
Giants unearthed in the burial mounds, just like the ones I was speaking of earlier, Marietta, the Ohio River Valley. Okay. So Kennewick Man is the proverbial smoking gun that proves definitively here and now a Smithsonian conspiracy to distort human history by way of concealing abnormal human remains.
Where are the remains as we speak?
The Kennewick Man's remains, as we speak, were allegedly repatriated to a secret location back near where he was discovered by an indigenous tribe. Allegedly, a ceremony with 200 natives and some scientists allegedly repatriated these remains back in Kennewick near where they were found, allegedly.
You still think they're at the Smithsonian, don't you?
I don't know. You know, they're so compromised. They're so compromised. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled some sort of scam there.
Would this skeleton of Kennewick show us that he might have been a giant?
Yes, I think so. They claim he was 5'7", 160 some odd pounds. But I can prove definitively, and by their own evidence, when the Kennewick controversy initially erupted, the Smithsonian, who likes to play hide and seek with these bones, was suddenly caught with their pants down.
And there was a 9-year court case over this and all that, wasn't
yes,
there?
Yes, exactly. Because of the controversy between the government, the scientists, and the Native Americans, there was suddenly mass media interest in these bones.
Yeah, the Native American tribes claim those bones were theirs, right?
Yes. Yes, they did. The Native Americans claimed those are our bones and we want them repatriated under the act. And the government, you know, was sort of playing tug of war with them. Interestingly, the court ultimately ruled that the U.S. Army Corps did act in bad faith, and they ended up having to pay $2 million of the Native Americans' court costs. So they were, by way of legal precedent, they were lying in court. But anyway, the point is, mass media like NPR and the Smithsonian, they were forced to reveal photographs of these bones because there was too much interest by too many people who were not involved in any kind of conspiracy for them to play dumb like they normally do, or just claim nonsense, right, with the older bones. Oh, those bones never existed, whatever. But everybody knew these bones existed.
Was this a big story back in 96?
It was. It was big. It was international news. Because of the scientific weight of it, you see.
Right.
And so, when they would normally not like to reveal these bones to anyone ever, they suddenly found themselves, you know, being hounded by powerful media journalists demanding photos of these bones that they know they have. And so, if you carefully examine now, the real bone photographs were quickly eclipsed by loads of photographs of replicas.
Uh-huh.
Now, they admit that they're replicas, but the trick is, the devil is in the detail. The replica skull and skeleton is quite different than those original photos. If you examine those original photos carefully, what you discover is a radically deformed skull.
And a large skull at that.
A very, very large, deformed, very... I mean, I've seen a lot of deformed skulls in my day, and this is one of the most warped I've ever seen.
Now, what makes that so significant?
Yeah, so the... Well, it's not just the warped skull. Another more careful examination of the bones also reveals that he has five fingers on his right hand, but no thumb. And he has the additional bones for a thumb. So he certainly had a thumb. And this would mean that he had six fingers.
Six.
And that would make him a polydactyl.
Was that so common in that time period, 9,000 years ago?
Well, I'll tell you where it is common, is it's common in ancient tradition in relation to narratives regarding these hybridized giant species like the biblical Nephilim.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
The book of Samuel specifically says...
Cross between man and angel, right?
Correct, and that's right. The Nephilim, for any who are not familiar, according to the narrative, were the hybridized offspring of non-human beings, angelic beings, if you like, watchers, many names for them.
And the daughters of man.
Yes, thank you. And they interbred with mortals, humans, and they created these gigantic, invasive hybrids. And they were lawless and evil and cannibalistic.
How tall would Kennewick Man be if we were able to get to that skeleton, in your opinion?
Well, I could speculate. Now, I can't prove this, but what is interesting about the photo of the skeleton is that the entire photo is taken on a black surface. The bones are deliberately laid on a... Now, see, they did that on purpose because now you have no
reference.
Scale reference.
That's right.
So there's really no telling. That thing could be huge. I suspect, and this is pure speculation, but I would guess that he was probably well over 7 feet. I would say he's between 7 and 8 feet tall.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.